Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Riding the Storm Out. This week, we're going to talk about one of the coming Black Swan events, which is Disease X. Stay tuned. Well, thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Riding the Storm Out. Of course, I am Pastor Paul Blair here at Liberty Church Edmond, actually Fairview Baptist Church. We now operate under the name Liberty Church as we are part of the Liberty Pastors Network and, of course, our Liberty Pastors Training Camp. Dave Hannon is on staff here, our producer of this program. So welcome to the show, Dave. It's good to see you again. I understand we have some great videos that we're going to look over. And, folks, we're going to be preparing ourselves for what's coming next by evaluating the truth of what we've already experienced. So, David, go ahead and...
Sure, yeah, let's cue up the first video.
A new warning from the World Health Organization, the death rate from the coronavirus is rising.
3.4% is higher.
Twice as deadly as previous estimates.
3.4%. The state of emergency.
Well, I think the 3.4% is really a false number. Based on a lot of conversations with a lot of people that do this, I think the number is way under 1%.
So to fact check, the World Health Organization says the coronavirus death rate is 3.4%.
President Trump lies that the World Health Organization is wrong.
The number is 3.4%.
3.4% is what it's being reported around the world.
Making it deadlier.
So much death.
The death rate.
The percentage is 3.4%. And no hunch from the president can change that.
Trump lied about the most recent World Health Organization estimate that the global death rate of coronavirus is 3.4%.
The 3.4% death rate was wrong, and WHO data later updated it to
a fraction of 1%.
Let's go back into history.
Trump has a hunch that the death rate is lower than 1%.
Way under 1%.
Way under 1%.
Will someone put a mozzarella stick in his stupid hole?
Trump lied to viewers about the mortality rate.
Way under 1%.
False information.
He's spreading disinformation.
Misinformation and dangerous disinformation.
If you're president of the United States, you have the world's greatest scientists at your disposal. You listen to them.
Leading scientists, including Dr. Fauci, wrote in the New England Journal of Medicine that the death rate could be considerably less than 1%.
Way under 1%.
Why are you going on national television and contradicting experts based on a hunch?
His fake hunch with some fake math.
The president somehow thinks it could be lower than 1% based on nothing.
Based on a lot of conversations with a lot of people that do this.
Outright lies, contradicting health officials on fatality rates. It's not a time for Donald Trump to be calling into cable shows. It's a time for the CDC.
What is CDC's best estimate of the fatality rate?
It's somewhere between 0.5% and 1%.
A fraction of 1%.
The president is spreading false information.
Information discarding what the health professionals are saying.
Outright bogus information.
Science is not based on hunches.
A hunch about what he thinks is going on.
Instead of trusting information from doctors and scientists.
He has a hunch.
Hunch.
It's not a time for Donald Trump's hunches. It's a time for science. It's a time for doctors.
Welcome Dr. Jay Bhattacharya.
My hypothesis.
My hunch.
Was it likely to be less deadly than the World Health Organization was saying.
3.4%.
There's no way that was true.
Really, false number.
This is why I ran the study in April of 2020.
And what did you discover?
The infection fatality rate was 0.2%.
Way under 1%.
Trump continues to contradict and downplay all things coronavirus.
The president appearing to contradict medical experts on the mortality rate of the virus.
Personally, I would say the number is way under 1%.
Later on CNN.
Our estimates are probably pretty inflated.
Very high, because the easy cases, they don't report to doctors or the hospital in many cases, so...
Initially, WHO released estimates of 3.4%.
Really a false number.
So what is this reminding?
That is a great video, Dave. Yeah, yeah. I'm so glad you found that, and I'm glad that it was a reminder to all of us.
Yes.
If you have never read the book 1984 by George Orwell...
Oh, yeah.
It is a classic, and you must read it. What's amazing is Orwell, I think the year was 1948 that he wrote this book of a dystopian, you know, just crushing of humanity by big government. The things that are mentioned in that book, which were decades ahead of their time, are what we're experiencing now. Mm-hmm. Of course, Winston was the star of 1984, and he worked for the government agency, and his job was to rewrite the news. Mm-hmm. So as facts change, which is what we're seeing here with the news media. By the way, the news media is supposed to be watchdogs there for our behalf, holding the government accountable. They're not supposed to be complicit with the government. These people, folks, Epoch Times, New American Magazine, The Blaze Media is also
Daily
good.
Wire.
Daily Wire is another one. Yeah. You can trust some of these resources until they ever prove that they aren't trustworthy, but so far they have been. Yep. But CNN and MSNBC, and quite frankly, about half of Fox.
Even Fox.
Yeah. Is a waste of time. Mm-hmm. But it's amazing to me that in 1984, you had the rewriting of history. And quite frankly, at real time, as they would do the best they could. Of course, this was before computer age. And then what was also amazing is 1984, everybody had a big screen television in their house, mm-hmm. and the government was able to see you through the television as well as you see what the government propaganda was. Mm-hmm. Isn't it amazing that we are literally living in that age?
Right.
We are living in that age now. But we've seen these people. The media was promoting a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing that astounds me about all of this is how they made Donald Trump to be the villain.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, David—
They had to.
And, you know,
they had to.
What's ironic about it, though, David, is that you go back into 2010 and 2005. Go back to when, quite frankly, the Home Alone movies, when Donald Trump did a cameo on Home Alone 2.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump was beloved by the Democratic Party in Washington, D.C.
and the establishment. Yeah.
You go back and see him on Saturday Night Live, even in 2014, 2015, and he was beloved mm-hmm. by the liberals. I didn't care anything about Donald Trump. I mean, I was literally have always been a Donald Trump. I don't care.
Yep.
I was not a Donald Trump fan. I didn't dislike him. I just didn't care. And all the years that he had his, famous television show that, you know, You're Fired. I don't remember the name of the show. I never watched it one time because I didn't care.
Yeah.
When he ran for office at president in 2016, I originally was a Ted Cruz supporter, and we were outspoken. We were very much for Cruz through the primaries. When Donald Trump won the nomination as the Republican, I voted against Hillary Clinton because I knew that she was a female version of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
So I was hoping that Trump would be a better choice than that. And then, lo and behold, Trump wound up to be a super patriot and the enemy of globalism and global government.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's amazing that all these people that— you know, in 2014, were huge Trump fans, whereas mm-hmm. I didn't care. Now I would fall into the category of suspicious, but still a Trump supporter. And they hate Trump.
Oh, yeah.
Because Trump is honest enough to try to defend the greatness of what America once was.
Oh, yeah. He's for nationalism.
Yeah.
And that just doesn't fly. And the people from Davos, mm-hmm. it doesn't fly with the World Health Organization. You know, what we have seen here is the media get their marching orders, 3.4%, mm-hmm. and they beat it over and over and over our heads, ingrained us. They use a mass psychosis type of psychology on us to create panic, to create people, put us in chaos, and they're going to try to do it again with disease X. You know that something's going to happen, and I'm just going to warn our audience out there, what do they think is going to be the black swan or black swan events? But back to the video, they use those tactics to scare the American people to put on masks and do all kinds of crazy things.
Social distancing. Stay home.
At that time, I was at UCO, and I tell you what, if I took my mask and I was seen walking around the hall with my mask underneath my nose, I got a notification. I got a check mark. And if I got three check marks, I was going to go to sensitivity training and make sure that I was going to be put in line. I tell you what, and the thing is that our building was a huge square, right? My office was 25 feet from the men's bathroom, but they had lines, and for me to use the bathroom, I had to walk around the whole entire building to go to the bathroom. But guess what? There was one day I peeked out my office. There was no one around, and I quickly ran with my mask on.
Did you get caught?
And I got caught. That was my second check mark. I mean, it was hysterical. And then I begged for the third check mark because I wanted to go to the class. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see what kind of trouble I was going to be in. But the thing, we had our society have become, mm-hmm. we're really telling on other people. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was so shameful to see people behave like that.
The dirty looks you'd get in stores and telling on other people. And you're right.
Yeah.
In fact, you know, Cindy and I had the privilege of being thrown off an American Airlines flight in Dallas because, get this, we weren't wearing our masks high enough over our noses. So we had them over the noses, just wasn't high enough to suit the stewards' opinions of how mm-hmm. we should have been protecting the other passengers. There were so many things that were obvious early on. David, when this thing first came out, and the way we're going to be preparing ourselves for disease X is by doing a hard study of what we've just been through. Mm-hmm. And the whole COVID thing, initially, it took us all. Because I remember the first weekend, Cindy and I were traveling somewhere, and it was when COVID was first being introduced, and the world was shutting down. But it was so eerie. I forget which airport we were in, but we were in some connection, and the place was empty. And I remember walking down the hallway and seeing a TV on in one of the airport sports bars. And it was talking about how the Masters golf tournament was being canceled and how March Madness, NCAA college basketball, was being canceled. And I got to tell you, that stunned me because I'm sitting here going, wow, those are huge money makers.
Yeah.
Maybe there's something to this. So we were cautious, but we had our eyes and ears open.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the world shut down. Cindy and I loaded up all our clothes and drove home to Oklahoma with the work they were doing back and forth in the state of Florida. But there were so many things that didn't make sense that we were suspicious early on. As a matter of fact, I did a message the first week of May in 2020 that I called this out for what it was.
You called it connecting the dots.
Connecting the dots. Yeah. That's exactly what we talked about, the World Economic Forum. Mm-hmm. We talked about global government and all this hype that was going on. But let's look at some of the things. Okay. Remember going into – okay, first of all, you remember how some businesses were necessary.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And some had to be closed.
Yeah.
Now, let me tell you, what is the difference when you're talking about a virus between a locally owned mom-and-pop hardware shop and – Lowe's or the other one that's out there,
Home Depot.
Home Depot's out there. Yeah. Why was it that it was okay to keep Lowe's open, but the local middle-class private property owner had to close his store? How does that make any sense when you're talking about science of a virus?
It doesn't, but that was what they wanted.
Exactly right.
They wanted to destroy the middle America. They wanted property to destroy the middle class.
Yep.
That's exactly what they wanted to do. So you have this small group of people that control all of the other people.
Yep.
That's what they're going for. I mean, that's
notice how the big global businesses and media companies, they made trillions of dollars over COVID.
Oh yeah.
While the average hardworking private property small mom and pop shop closed and it forever stayed closed. That was the goal of all this. And then also think about going into restaurants.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Go ahead.
Yep. Okay.
Go
ahead. So you had to walk in with your mask fully on, but when you sat down, the virus wasn't below the 5 foot level. So you could take your mask off once you got to the table. That's a smart virus.
Viruses don't work that way, and we all knew it. And quite frankly, the last straw to me, and of course I was already convinced, but it was a no-brainer when they came out with this new vaccine. First of all, you don't come up with vaccines in 2 weeks.
No.
That doesn't happen. It takes years, takes a decade to get something into to a point where it's safe for human consumption. This time, they had what was a vaccine, but they kept calling it a vaccine, and it clearly wasn't a vaccine.
Yep.
You know, if they had come out early on, and quite frankly, they probably would have been successful, because I would have probably followed down this as it was reasonable. If they had said, listen, we've got this new virus that's out there. We're really not sure what's going on. We're trying to figure it out. We've got an experimental mRNA shot. And quite frankly, ladies and gentlemen, we've never actually tried this on human beings, but we feel confident that it'll be effective. And if you'd like to take this chance, then we make the mRNA available to you.
Yeah.
But when they kept calling it a vaccine, when clearly it wasn't. And then I remember the mayor of New York City was eating some French fries and offering if people went and got a vaccine, they could get a free order of French fries. I'm sorry. I've never seen people bribed with lottery tickets and French fries to take a vaccine. There were just so many things that were so obvious about this.
Oh, yeah.
And then we were on it early. We had all sorts of doctors through here. We had thousands of people in our building signing religious exemptions to have to avoid taking this experimental injection that we still are feeling the after effects on. But quite frankly, I can't tell you how many thousands of lives that we've saved by being honest with people and telling them to keep their own immune systems up. Take vitamin D. Take zinc. By the way, if you're sick, that's when you quarantine.
Yeah.
You don't quarantine when you're well. Mm-hmm. And that's one good thing that we've probably learned from all this. We have all had the custom that if you have a cold, well, I'm just going to tough it out. I'm going to work anyway. Well, the reality is when you take a cold or a flu to work, you think you're toughing it out, but the reality is you are just infecting other people.
Exactly.
So if you are sick, then by all means, you do need to stay home. Mm-hmm. But when you're well, you don't quarantine.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as a 6-foot safe distance. If you sneeze, I mean, I am not a scientist. I was a football player. Hello? Somebody that's dumb enough to think that running into other people full speed was a good idea is not all that smart.
Yeah.
But I knew that a sneeze traveled like 30 feet. So what good does a 6-foot circle? And they've come out and admitted that it was arbitrary. It was all bull.
Yep.
It was all just to strike fear, close down private property, and gain control by the central planning globalists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, the next series of videos I put together kind of explain on how quickly all this came together, and it's kind of shocking when you actually listen to Dr. Malik speak about this. It's like, wow, they had this planned already.
And it didn't take 10 years to develop this. Okay.
Well, exactly. All right.
The first thing that happens is we have a very strange phenomenon in China, an eye doctor spots a case of supposedly atypical pneumonia. Now, that event is a very strange event to start with. There's lots of pneumonia all the time in China, okay? But he says, this one's very strange, okay? So that's 30th of December. It's just before the beginning of January. And then supposedly, we have the emergence of, according to the World Health Organization already, on January the 5th, they're telling us that they have identified 44 cases out of a population of 8 million people of atypical pneumonia of unknown etiology, unknown cause.
44.
So that's taken them 5 days from the time that the first doctor said he'd seen something strange. Then 2 days later, they had declared that a new SARS-like virus was the cause of these pneumonia cases. 2 days after they'd decided that they'd identified 65 unusual cases. Just 3 days later, we have a situation where the firm manufacturing the first PCR kits to test for this thing is already shipping them.
It's amazing.
So let's just recap.
Unbelievable.
We've gone from the identification of the first patient to the shipping of the first kits in 11 days. Okay?
Doesn't that...
David, that is impossible. From a business standpoint, from a scientific standpoint, that is impossible. And as we were talking earlier, this reminds me of the Patriot Act.
Mm-hmm.
You remember just days after 9/11, they had this several thousand page bill ready to go in Congress, which is impossible. They had it ready to go.
Oh,
they were looking for the event in which to launch it on the people. Now it's being used against us. This whole thing, of course, we're going to see one of the videos talking about Event 201.
Yeah.
Bill Gates, the Rockefellers, and the World Economic Forum.
Oh, yeah.
They have been planning this pandemic for well over a decade. The last big meeting was at the Pierre Hotel in New York City in November. No, I take it back, in October of 2019. Mm-hmm. And then a month later, we had the reporting of the first case in China. And, of course, in 2000, the meeting, it's called Event 201. In fact, you can search for it online. It's probably still there. You can find it. I think you can still find it. But it specifically stated they were game planning if a bats to human novel coronavirus was unleashed on the world, how they would get it under control. Mm-hmm. It's amazing, their foresight. That's probably how they got rich. They are that good at picking stocks. Uh-huh. They were also able to predict this coming pandemic. And, of course, now they're predicting another one.
Oh, yeah. They've got it all ready to go. All right, so here's the next video.
On the same day when they shipped the kits, the first gene sequences published on virological.org. 2 days after that, the World Health Organization has already accepted Christian Drosten's PCR protocol as what they call the gold standard for testing for this new disease.
You know, we had good humor with this. The greatest way to protect yourself from the COVID virus was to quit watching the news.
Exactly.
You know, we had doctors on in here. We have great relationships with all these doctors. Of course, they have all been, and quite frankly, the America's Frontline Doctors was another thing that, mm-hmm. that really yeah. got your attention. Mm-hmm. Early on in this pandemic, you had this group of doctors, emergency room doctors from across the country. Of their own volition, they gathered in D.C. to discuss how they were treating successfully this new virus that's out there.
Yeah.
They were approaching it honestly, diagnosing it honestly, and trying to help each other. Then they came out and did a press conference, and after that, every one of those doctors had been marginalized, criticized, debunked, so-called.
Yep.
And why? For practicing medicine? I mean, isn't that what we always do? Doctors figure out ways to treat new illnesses, mm-hmm. and they share it with other doctors.
And any information they put on YouTube was immediately taken down. On Twitter at the time, anything they put on there was immediately taken down. They were cut off.
Simone Gold was actually on a government watch list. I was at a meeting with her at a small group in Lakeland back in 2021. And what was amazing, she came in about a day late for this two-day meeting, and she was telling the story how she was at the airport. She'd gone through security. She was about to board the plane when just at the last minute they came and grabbed her and put her through another search to the point where she missed the flight. Mm-hmm. And then she wound up having to rent a car to drive to our meeting down there. But she was actually on a government watch list. This gal with 2 degrees. She's got a degree as a lawyer, a degree in law, and then a degree in medicine. And all she's trying to do is treat this illness, and she's on the government watch list like a terrorist? Are you kidding me? You know, this was just too obvious. They were insisting on shutting down any kind of dissenting information. Mm-hmm. In fact, that's what they call it. It's not misinformation or disinformation. It's what is it? It's malinformation. Is that what they call it, I think?
Malinformation, yeah.
And, of course, malinformation is actually factual data. Mm-hmm. It's not wrong. It's just it hurts our argument if you release it.
Yeah.
So that is really the definition of malinformation. Misinformation is if you're intentionally saying something that isn't true. Misinformation is when you accidentally share something that's not true. Disinformation is when you intentionally share something that's not true. Malinformation is when you share something that is true, but it hurt the government narrative.
Exactly.
So all of that has been targeted, and they're still targeting it in the media.
Sure.
All right.
All right. Next video.
And a few more gene sequences are published in that time. Just 9 days after that, the famous Corman-Drosten protocol is published, is submitted for review, and 27 hours later, it's peer-reviewed and published.
What the hell?
In a magazine, in a journal that...
That takes months.
That Drosten is an editor of.
Okay, so having written a peer-reviewed article, it takes months of research to collect chapters.
They give PhDs away. Come on. Quit making us sound like this all that hard.
You have to exhaust the lit review, and you have to – I mean, you can't sit there and skim – if you're going to be peer-reviewed, you can't skim through the documents. You actually have to read the documents, see how the study was done, and then you have to review all of that literature. And for my dissertation, it was over 80. That took me months and months to review, even before I got it submitted to run my tests. Now, the test surveys, and they were just surveys involving human studies, that had to be submitted to the review board. And then I had to go to a court hearing, per se, and back that up. And then tell how I was going to do the test, and how I was going to interpret the data, and how I was going to do the regression analysis using IBM SPSS. And then when the board approved it, then I was able to run the survey, run the test. So the whole entire process took a little over a year, and mine was blazing fast. But in an amount of how many days?
Less than 3 days or 12
days?
3 days. Yeah.
This is all done, and it's peer reviewed.
You're jealous
and
you're biased.
Yeah, I'm jealous.
You obviously
have
never seen Doogie Howser. Doogie can read at an amazing rate. You've never seen the movie Limitless. You take this pill and you can read and retain everything. That's obviously what happened. David, obviously, this is baloney. Yeah. I mean, he used some choice words to describe it, but that's what this is.
Yeah.
So we're just about to run out of time for today's broadcast. We'll continue because this is coming. Folks, I can remember, in fact, we've presented videos in our pastor's training camps where Trump was at the World Economic Forum rejecting their invite to be part of the global system. We see Trump at the United Nations rejecting their invite, insisting on strong countries and insisting on being the president of America rather than trying to be the head of the World Health Organization. And then we saw George Soros mysteriously in his creepy voice coming out in 2018 saying that the Trump problem will go away in 2020. Well, lo and behold, it did with a rigged, stolen election.
That's right.
They are planting. People are starting to open their eyes. We have great states that are standing up against this nonsense, but they are going to try whatever they must do
because the United
steal the next
States
election. Is the last roadblock.
It is. It's the last. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And it has to be taken down. And Trump cannot be president.
First, we've got some things that we'll talk about next week. But number one is, if you're a Christian, we've got nothing to fear. Quite frankly, the worst thing, if the virus was legit, the worst thing that can happen to us is the best thing that can happen to us.
Oh, yeah.
And in Christian history, Christians have always been on the front lines out there fighting against the bubonic plague or whatever. Mm-hmm. We have been out there on the front lines because we haven't feared death. Boy, not this time. The church was closing up shop and not singing in public, and we couldn't hide fast enough. I'd question, church better check and make sure that you're actually saved. That's the first thing we'll do. But we'll pick all this up next week, and we'll continue our discussion on this coming dreaded disease X. And trust us, folks, if they say it's coming, you can rest assured it's coming because they're the ones behind it. Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Riding the Storm Out. David, great research. It's always a lot of fun doing this program with you. And until next time, may God bless you.